Bless the Lord,
O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Thank God for his good word. In the Psalm 103, the psalmist deliberately makes a point of doing something, and that is, praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, he says. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The number of times that that word appears in this psalm is quite remarkable. And it's obvious that he has committed himself to doing this as a human being. And I'm sure, friends, like us, he had his ups and downs, his joys and his sorrows, and his trials and tribulations. Because that is what is promised. A long time ago, since Job said that man was born to trouble, as the sparks fly upwards, and none of us have to go looking for problems and difficulties and setbacks. But the psalmist, in his pilgrimage through life, is at that point where he deliberately commits himself blessing the Lord. And there's seven things in the first five verses of this chapter, or this psalm, that he underlines. And one of those is found in the verses that we read together. He says at verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. So he speaks of the forgiveness of his sins. He's conscious of that. And he takes that to heart. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. You go to Hebrews chapter 11 and you read the names of those who have gone down as the heroes of the faith. And I'm sure that group in Hebrews chapter 11, their past lives, and that I'm sure they represented quite a catalogue of sin. Because that's what we're born into, and that's how by nature that's what we are. But they had come to the place where they had experienced what the psalmist spoke of here too in verse 12. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, God has made no mention of any sins that any of those people had committed. And why? Because in the previous chapter, chapter 10, he said to them, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And so, this is a position, and this is where the psalmist finds himself. He says, he forgiveth all thine iniquities. And that's the gospel that we preach, and that's what we believe in tonight. And that's what we trust the blood of the Lamb for, to cover us. And if there's anyone with us tonight who hasn't got to that place where you're able to say, not through pride or any boast of the flesh, but in humility before the Savior, he has forgiven all mine iniquities. Because that is the position of the Christian. And as we continue to, in his mercy and with his help, to go on in life and become anywhere conscious that we have grieved his heart or sinned against him, we got to bring it to the blood of the Lamb. And know in our hearts this wonderful peace and the joy of salvation. Forgiveth all thine iniquities. When the nationalists on the mission field said to the missionary, what is the difference in what you are telling our people and what we have been telling them? And he answered in one word. Forgiveness. Because there's not a religion in the world outside the Christian religion that can offer that. That is what sets it apart. Forgiveness. And that's what it's about. And that is what lost men and women, and men and women who have sinned against God. That's what they need. That's what we need more than anything else. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. And then he goes on to say this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases. Healeth all thy diseases. And that's a wonderful statement too, isn't it? And the psalmist wasn't living in airy fairyland. He knew where he was, and he's speaking truth here. He's underlining that great truth, which is a great truth to the people of God. And it's only to the people of God that this promise is given, who healeth all thy diseases. Now we thank God for healing, and we know there are people in the process of healing every hour of every day of every week. And we thank God for those who are instrumental under God in bringing this about. And we're thankful for that whole area of medication and doctors and nurses and hospitals and so on. And thank God for those who are being miraculously healed. undergo. That is happening, and the Bible makes it clear that we should pray. We should call the elders when we're ill and get them to anoint us and to pray for our healing. That's scriptural. That's there in the little, in the book of James. We have been authorized to do that. And we thank God for miraculous healing. And there may be those in our service tonight who's actually experienced that. I have personally experienced it. And I'm so thankful. And God knows what's ahead for us. But the psalmist is going further than even that. Because he is speaking of that eternal healing. Every Christian. There are great mysteries about healing and sicknesses and who are prayed for and who are healed and who are prayed for and who are not healed. And there's great mysteries. And some of us have been involved in that side of things over the years and talking to people and trying to comfort people and guide people and so on. But all this whole area of prayer and answered prayer and healing and so on. There are those, of course, in the Christian church who believe that if you're sick, you know, you're sinning against God. You couldn't be sick otherwise. There are those who believe that, and there are those who teach that. Well, friends, I've lived long enough to know that that is false teaching. False teaching. I've seen it. I've seen situations, friend. I'll take time tonight to go into them. I've seen it before my very eyes and on my very doorstep. And it saddened me and it grieves the Spirit of God. But there will be entire and eternal healing of all the diseases for every Christian. You can count on that. If we're not healed here, friends, we will be healed for eternity. The scripture says, and we shall receive a body like unto his glorious body. And all sickness will have passed over. He says, he healeth all thy diseases. And then he goes on and he says this, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. He redeems your life from destruction. He's seeing that now. He's seeing that unforgiven sin allowed to run its course in a life. It's going to destroy that life. And finally, he's going to damn that life. And he says he redeems us from destruction. And that's what sin will do, friends, and is doing. And thank God for the power of the gospel and the power of grace and the power of the blood of Christ that redeems our lives from destruction, buys us back from the slave market of sin, and brings us into the kingdom of God. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 107. And he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He goes on to speak here of something else. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and who crowneth thee with loving kindness. Tender mercies. Loving kindness. You see, it's always, the acts of God are always characterized with love. Loving kindness. You see, you could be kind to a person. I could be kind to a person. But it wouldn't necessarily mean that I love the person. You know, that's the difference. But the kindness, the loving kindness of God is always characterized by the love of God. Precious and wonderful love of God. He goes on to remind us of something else here. He speaks of his tender mercies or his compassion, his great compassion, his patience, his pity, his pardon, which is precious to us, wonderful to us, We bless God for his tender mercies. And then he goes on to say this, who satisfieth thy longing soul. Satisfies us. Friends, only God can do that. Only God can do it. If we could only get across to men and women that they'll live and die and never be satisfied in life out of Christ. Never know what it is to have that satisfaction in one's life, that they have found life, that they have found the Lord, and the Lord has found them. They have found the answer. They know what it is to have that longing that was in them satisfied as we have feasted and rested in the good Lord. He satisfieth thy mouth with good things. And then he goes on to say this, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. How is that, friends? That's lovely to me. The eagle is an interesting bird, isn't it? It's a mighty bird. But I'm told about the eagle comes to a stage where, you know, she has to cast her coat. And when she's in that process, she tends to get down and get depressed and usually goes away to a quiet place until the feathers fall out and then she feels a lot better. But she can come to a stage where she's almost at the point of death, because an eagle's beak grows, and it grows to the extent that she can come to a point where she can't eat any food any longer. And unless she gets that beak broken, the excess of the beak broken away, she will die. But whether through frustration or by instinct or whatever, she can get rid of that. She will crack that beak against a rock or a stone, and the excess beak will break off. And now she's got on a new coat, and she's feeding again, and she feels a new bird. You can get the picture, can't you? And that's what the psalmist is saying here. So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. May God bless his good word to us in his name.